Hi there, and welcome to the final episode of Brian Aldridge's True Crime Political Election Conspiracy Sports Talk Podcast. Don't worry, we're not going anywhere. We're just rebranding. Next week will be Family by Law with Brian Aldridge. We talk about that on this episode. We talk about what it's like to become a family, what it's like to have a stepdad, a stand-up comedian stepdad, and we play a game in the second half called 6 Degrees of Brian Aldridge. Hope you enjoy. All right, let's kick this off. Episode number 13. I am auditioning a co-host. I landed on my wife's daughter. So by law, my daughter-in-law, Carlina, going to be joining us once again as the co-host, audition pending. How are you doing, Carlina?
Doing great.
Fantastic. Also, want to let you know that this is the final. Carlina, do you hear me?
The final
episode of the Brian Aldridge True Crime Political Election Conspiracy Sports Talk Podcast. The final episode. Now, if you've been enjoying what we do here, don't fret. We're not quitting.
Nope.
We're not quitting.
Not going anywhere.
We are evolving, as all good podcasts do. When we started, we were goofing around, didn't know what we would be all about. So we just thought, like, hey, wouldn't it be hilarious if we just threw out every search engine term into the title, see what we can come up with, see what stuck. But after a dozen episodes, in our Baker's Dozen episode, what are we about? What are we here? What do we do? What's this podcast all about? And I think it's family. So we've rebranded. We got a graphic design team. Carlina signed up for a free trial of a visual software program. Starting next Wednesday, you can still search Brian Aldridge. You will still find it. The archives are still there. All the old episodes are there. Starting next Wednesday, this podcast will go by Family by Law with Brian Aldridge. I just thought it was a good time, good fit. That's what we're about here. We're about family. Typically, when I bring a guest on, it's either my parents' son or it's my brother. Almost every time so far, my wife's daughter has been the co-host. So it's been about family. So I figure let's change it. Family by law. Also, the main point is Carlina and producer Karate Brian told me that the kids like to abbreviate stuff.
Yeah.
So if it just went FBL with Brian Aldridge, like, you know, we could put it on a hat.
Yeah, we could.
People still wear hats?
Yeah.
All right. So since we're sending off the True Crime Political Election Conspiracy Sports Talk Podcast, transitioning into Family by Law, I thought about, let's talk about what got us here. What made us decide to do a podcast? What made me choose?
It's our origin story episode.
The co-host. And it's the family. It's we're a family. Even producer Karate Brian over there is part of our family. You know what I mean? So everybody so far that's been a part of this podcast, besides Zuckerberg, besides Obama, has been family. I'll tell you right now, Barry O is family.
Yeah.
Barack Obama's family.
He's considered family in my book. Him and Michelle, always welcome.
So we got a little bit of a story to tell. I thought if we can get ourselves there, I didn't cover it in the introduction yet because I haven't recorded it yet, so I don't even know what's in there. But I thought we would call this episode, What's It Like?
What's It Like?
Or we'll call it Family by Law.
Family by Law.
So I just would want to go, we're going to talk about just what's it like? How'd we get here? And I'm going to announce this right now. Once we transition to Family by Law, I'm going to seriously consider, you heard it here first, making Carlina a permanent co-host of the show.
This is the first I'm hearing of this.
So I really hope this audition goes well.
I really hope that my Baker's Dozens auditions have gone well enough.
All right, so I guess if we're going to go with the, like, what's it like theme, let's knock some things out of the park first. If you are listening to this podcast for the first time, my name is Brian Aldridge. I am a stand-up comedian. I have been one for, if my stand-up career could now join the military.
Yeah.
Started in about 2005, we're in 2023. Been around for a long time. You may not have heard of me, but you may have heard of some of the people I've been around. I've opened for Dave Chappelle, Bill Burr, John Mulaney. He might be the hottest one right now. Brent Crystals, Tom Segura's wife, two generations of Damon Wayans. I've been in a car with Lil Rel. Lil Rel co-starred in a movie with John Cena. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah. News to me.
Nikki Glaser, been in a car with her. Been lived with Craig Robinson from The Office. So basically, if you've got a favorite comedian, I've probably opened for them, and they don't know who I am anymore. Or some of them might. They might be like, hey, that funny, balding, fat, white guy was pretty funny. You know, I don't know what they would say if you asked them. But I've been around a while. I'm pretty good on stage, pretty bad from a business standpoint. So we're trying to change that. We're trying to gain some exposure. Now we've found an identity in the podcast. So we're going to talk about how my life, basically steamrolling my way into this co-host's life at a formidable age in her life, either helped or wrecked her. We're going to figure that out in the next 30 minutes.
It's a therapy session.
Yeah, it's a therapy session for free. You guys are the therapist, and we're going to just hash some stuff out.
The listener is the therapist?
Yeah. So the first thing is, what's it like, I guess, surface, because this isn't that big deal. What's it like having a stepdad as a stand-up comedian?
Well, I think the best part about it is telling people what you do. Especially when I was in high school and things like that, and they would ask about your parents' careers.
Okay.
And say, mom does so-and-so, and they'd be like, what about you?
My mom literally does so-and-so.
Oh, she literally does so-and-so. Shout out to Brenda. No, so I would always say, oh, yeah, my stepdad's a comedian. And their immediate follow-up every single time would be, oh, that's great. What's his real job? And then I'd have to follow up with, like, oh, no, he begs for
money in the Walmart parking lot. He's pretty good.
No, I'd always have to follow up with, he's an actual comedian. And like, then they would just give me this, like, sad look. Like, my mom was, like, a single mother who's working. Yeah. And then I'd have to be like, no, like, he's successful.
No, like, he makes tons of money. He's going to Saginaw, Michigan this Wednesday through Sunday. I don't think you understand.
No, the selling point was usually telling them about a local show, and then they'd be like, oh, I guess.
All right. Yeah. So, but, okay, you've told me this before, where you're like, oh, yeah, he's a stand-up comedian, and they're like, oh, like Kevin Hart?
Yeah, that's the other extreme. That's usually,
does he do shows at the football stadium? Well, he does.
He does,
as a matter of
actually.
Fact, do shows at the football stadium.
No, that's the other extreme that I get quite a lot. Usually from people around my age. It's like, oh, have I heard of him? Does he have a Netflix special? And I'm like, what if he did?
I'm going to put this out here right now. Me not having a Netflix special is a crime against comedy.
Honestly.
All right.
There's so many Netflix specials.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I was getting at.
One more would not hurt anybody.
That's what I was getting at. It's like, what if he did? Would that make you know his name? How often are you watching Netflix specials?
You don't even need to keep it up if it sucks.
Exactly.
Just take it down.
Gets bad reviews. The comedian gets canceled. All that stuff. Take it down.
I'll do it for $200,000. That's cheaper than you got Dave Chappelle by $50 million or $49
million. Yeah. I'll do it for like $4 or $5.
No. I need at least $25,000.
Oh, well, that's you.
Yeah.
I have zero.
$25,000, I'll do 7 minutes.
I say we do this show. Like,
lock me in a room.
Yeah, exactly.
Just lock me in a room, see that come up with for.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that idea.
I like that. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. So, okay. That's like what it's like when like someone questions you about it.
Yes.
When they're like, hey, when someone's asked you to explain what it's like.
Oh, okay.
hey, what does he do for a living?
Yeah.
What's it like?
Awful.
I don't disagree. The no. barrage. The only thing worse than a dad joke is a stepdad joke. And you just have heard too many of them.
No, I think it's pretty great. I mean, I enjoy it. I think that it's definitely, it's made my friends much more comfortable.
Okay.
Our house is my fit, and I don't have very many friends, so I guess it's a small sample size.
Yeah.
But.
I have more best friends than you have friends.
That's true. By yeah. like 30.
Yeah.
But no, everyone loves you, and I think I enjoy hanging out with you, and I enjoy your banter. I enjoy being able to joke around with you, and now you've been in my life for so many formidable years that I often think, what do other families talk about?
I think they talk about, like, church and stuff like that.
But, like, they can't all go to a church.
I mean...
Can they?
I've always wondered, too. Yeah, what do families with, like, what do, like, serious fam? I think I know. I've seen the TikToks. They do stuff like jump on a soda box that either does or does not have cans in it.
Oh.
And they take, have you ever seen that? And then someone on the other side is just, like, pretending to historically laugh. Like, family game night or something.
Oh,
like that. Yeah.
Oh, they do family game nights.
Yeah.
We've done those.
And I think... I think people think they're funny.
I think so.
I don't think anyone doesn't think they're funny.
That's true.
So you do have these square families sitting around and they're like, ha ha, I made a lark. I don't know what they say because I don't even know how to be unfunny.
That's true.
So I don't know what, like...
I will say.
Other than the domestic abuse situations where it's violent all the time and people are screaming.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, I've never been a part of that, but a lot of my friends have.
Oh,
and so that, you know, that's exciting, I guess.
But I, like, guess. Makes good comedy in the future.
I would imagine most families just boring, sitting at the table, just sitting at a table, thinking about, hey, did you see that Netflix show? And then they're like, oh, I enjoyed it, but it was a little too raunchy for me.
Oh.
Like, I don't know.
I think the hardest thing about having you as a stepdad is I had to adapt to being the second funniest person in every room.
Yeah.
Before
not that, every room. Every room that I'm in.
That's true.
Yes.
Every room that you're in. And then if one of your friends is in it, I got to go all the way down to third place.
Yeah, and they got to go to second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So who are some of the, my, you can name drop them if you want to. They'll love it. Some of the comedian friends of mine that you've met, that you've been, you know, if they're strange or whatever, don't drop their name.
Okay.
But, like, you describe them. Of my friends that you've met, comic friends. Not even comic friends, just comics I've worked with.
Okay.
Some strange ones, some cool ones, or whatever.
So, I mean, I gotta start. One of my favorites is JJ.
Yeah, JJ Curry. His name is Jaquavius Curry.
But he goes by JJ on
I
stage.
Called, I know, but I called him one time as my alter ego. Do not say the name because no one knows.
Okay.
I thanked him for putting me on a show and I said, Jaquavius Curry the Third. No, it's J.J. Curry, Jaquavius Curvy, the third here in Tampa. Yeah, you met him. You guys, yeah he's
well,
I
called him J.J. because that's his
I understand.
Stage name.
I understand.
Now you made me feel bad.
I mean, you should.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. Who else do we got? I don't know, man. You got too many friends.
Yeah.
I
Where's a weird one? Just start describing, like, one of the weirder ones you've ever seen.
That I've ever seen?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I feel like it's going to give it away. I don't even know if they're a comedian.
Do it.
Extremely tall. And, like, very, like, takes up the presence of the room. But funny and very nice. And extremely not intimidating to meet. But it's very funny to meet them because they feel, like, bigger than life and to meet them in person.
Is that a famous person? Oh. She's talking about the band 311's number one fan, Baron Corbin's best friend, Alex Price. Alex Price, great comedian from Indianapolis. Very early in my life. With you and your mom.
Mm-hmm.
You guys met Alex. We toured to South Dakota together or something like that. We did a couple of shows in Indianapolis. You met him. Yeah, he's 6'9".
Yeah.
Big guy. Yeah, so that's, yeah.
Wait, I have one more. One of my all-time favorites. Not a comedian, though. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All-time favorites. Out-rapped Kendrick Lamar. And has his own record label and album. Tell me.
Oh, yeah, jeez. You got to meet him here, right?
Yeah.
My favorite part was he was the one I wanted you to meet more than anyone, because growing up he was like,
yeah,
best friend. I was glad you met him. I'm glad you guys got along, other than him almost hurting Seuss.
Almost
murdering Seuss. I think he picked him up a little bit or something.
No.
But yeah, I'm really glad you got to. Yeah, I'm really glad you got to meet him. I'm really glad you got to meet my mom and dad's son. My brother, Adam.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law.
Yeah.
By law.
I thought Adam didn't even need a mention. Adam's not really a friend.
All right. So it's weird. But okay, think of all the cool stuff.
Yeah.
Just in the first year that I was married to your mom.
I dropped out of school.
You went to virtual school.
Did I drop out? I was unenrolled in school for a week.
And we were homeless.
Yeah. So.
You were a homeless dropout. You were a homeless dropout.
You took in a child in need, a homeless dropout.
Yeah, because, okay, it took us 3 days, like we traveled slow, mm-hmm. from Michigan to Florida. So for those 3 days, technically we're homeless.
Yeah, we hadn't signed the lease our Florida apartment.
So homeless dropout.
Homeless dropout,
wow.
Which was because I dropped out the week before Christmas break.
Okay.
And then I didn't start virtual school until the week after Christmas break.
So I kind of ruined your guys' life for a little bit there.
No. Only the meatloaf.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. That was a tough call. But no, the first year, it had to have been cool. We're traveling. You saw Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
We whale hunted. Or we well watched.
No, I do. And when I did drop out and go to virtual school, I was able to go on the road with you, my brother by law, your other stepchild.
Yeah. I call him the boy.
The boy.
The boy.
The boy.
I worked with a comedian in August, and he said it perfectly. Because if you've ever had split siblings.
Mm-hmm.
That you are a parent to. He said, I grabbed, when my boy was born, I looked at him and I said, I held him and I said, I will die for you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, and then I had my daughter and I held my daughter and I said, I will kill for you. It's just different. I'm sorry, you guys.
Yeah, well,
we have a caller? Sometimes our first caller to the podcast.
Our first caller live on air. Yeah, no, but I will say the traveling was a crazy experience. One of the best things I've gotten to experience thus far.
Yeah.
It was so amazing, and I loved being able to get that experience. I mean, are we going to mention that I hated you at first?
I was going to get there. Yeah, I was going to get me storming into your family and just ripping it apart. But no, the first little bit of just the experience of having not necessarily someone you like or don't like, just a stand-up comedian coming into your life.
Yeah.
That's kind of where we're at now. And I was thinking like that first little bit, I would load the whole car up.
Yeah.
Honda Civic, which worked for me because I was by myself and I got to my shows and I, you know, had the small car. I didn't really need it for anything else. Five deep? We're rolling five deep. I'm talking across the country. We're going Washington, D.C. We did a run too.
No, we did Michigan all the way down to Virginia Beach, all the way up to Niagara Falls, and all the way back down to Lansing, Michigan.
Sure, in a Honda Civic.
In a Honda Civic, 2013 Honda Civic.
I've driven some brutal nighttime drives.
Yeah.
I still won't tell your mom. How I got you guys home that one night, Washington. Let me paint a picture for you guys.
Let me paint a verbal picture.
Washington, D.C. to Ann Arbor, Michigan. Okay? This drive should take 9 hours. We walked around all day New Year's Day.
Yeah.
We checked out the Smithsonian, which me and you were pretty much on the same page with some of this stuff. We just looked at each other like, yeah, it's a building. Yeah, it's a painting. I get
our
it.
Our other family members were really they had a great into time. It. They had a great time.
They were like, oh, this is George Washington's wooden teeth. And we're like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. Those could be anyone's wooden teeth. I don't believe you. I don't believe you, Smithsonian. I don't think that's George Washington's wig either. Here's the axe he used to chop down the cherry tree.
How do I'm you like, know?
Look, he might not be able to tell a lie, but you guys can. And you're lying right now. But no, we did the whole Washington, D.C. And we're like, hey, look, that building. Hey, there's another building. Mm-hmm. And we're like, so it's sun's down.
Yeah.
It's late. It's nighttime. We do the whole drive over the New York Bridge or whatever. That's the night before to get out to
New York. Yeah, that was the night before.
So we're leaving Washington, D.C. I'm like, hey, guys, if you want to get down, put a nap down, that's fine. And none of you remember anything about that besides waking up in Ann Arbor.
Well, I don't know if this was on the same duration, but I remember us almost dying.
No, that was a trip when we went. We came down here.
Oh, well, that was a different trip. Okay.
Where the semi-truck almost ran us off the road.
Almost did legitimately kill us.
Yes.
But, yeah, I don't remember much of that trip. To be fair, I am maybe not the most credible source because I am an extremely...
You're an incredible source.
I am an extremely heavy sleeper who can sleep for very long durations of time.
Hold on, we have another set on this. We have another. We're going to peep in. Carlina's mom... By law, my wife.
By law, my mother.
We're talking about the time that I drove us home from Washington, D.C. to Ann Arbor, Michigan. Tell the new Family By Law podcast how long that trip should take.
Like 9 hours.
How long did that trip take?
I have no idea.
About six, seven hours.
They've accused me of time travel, driving through wormholes and such.
Yeah.
But that was a crazy time.
Was
so having a there's ups and there's downs of having a stepdad, stand-up comedian. Now we'll just talk about
how has it been for you?
For me?
Yeah.
I grew up. I was a man child.
A man child.
I was a 35-year-old.
You were 35?
I was 35.
No way.
Yeah.
I thought you were like 27.
No, 35 years old when I met your mom. I think I was 34 when I met your mom and 35 when I married her.
I think I just perceived you to be like not that much older
because
than
I wasn't mature. I did not come in mature. I grew up fast.
Yeah. I didn't really put you through that.
I knew I loved your mom and I knew I would do what it took to make things work. I had no idea the effect it would have on me. I grew up fast. I learned what it was like for if someone depended on you, but also like to need be like you need everyone needs each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you make it all work. And to have someone like this sounds brutally. One of my friends I was talking to, he's my age as well.
Yeah.
Doesn't have a wife, doesn't have, you know, kids or anything like that.
Lone wolf.
I told him, your life has no consequences.
That's true.
You could lose your job today. You could lose your left foot.
Yeah.
And then you move in with your mom.
The only person, yeah. The
That's
only,
it. You're like, no stakes.
Yeah.
No stakes.
Living life on easy mode.
Yeah. I call a guy a racial slur on stage and get canceled, and all of a sudden. All of a sudden. We're eating ramen noodles.
Yeah.
It's been the, and I don't mean to sound arrogant. It's not hard. You just got to do what you're supposed to do. You do the next thing. And but if you, like if I came in, your mom was in banking.
Yeah.
Now, had she brought home one of these squares, one of these banker guys, one of these guys with a giant ego.
I'd probably be at Harvard.
I doubt it.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It would have been a horrible mess.
You're right.
Because it would have been this person, how dare this, she talked to me this way.
Oh,
how
yeah.
And I'm like, a lot of that time, I'm on, and then.
I was a real meanie.
I wouldn't say you were a newbie, because I don't want to blast you out there. But there's going to be, because I was going to ask, what's it like just having someone storm through? Like, let's get your perspective first. Having someone just kind of turn your life upside down. I married your mom. Now, I had known her for a while.
Yeah.
But you didn't know I knew her for a while.
I didn't.
I knew her for a pretty long time before that.
So, well, I feel like, not to like go into family trauma, but I feel like I gotta give a little bit of backstory for the context.
Okay.
I wasn't just like your run-of-the-mill kid.
All right.
But my parents had gotten divorced when I was 7. And
I had nothing to do with that.
You did have nothing to do with that. I was going to get to that.
Hey, and you know what?
Thanks for claiming innocence.
And you know what? You had nothing to do with it either.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's the therapist in you.
Hey, Carlina. It's not your fault. No, hey. It's not your fault.
Okay. All right.
It's not your fault.
Anyways, moving on.
One more thing.
Is it that it's not my fault?
It is that it's not your fault.
But if you switched it up, then you were like, no, it is your fault. Exposure therapy.
Ooh. Oh, exposure. Real quick. I didn't realize about how you... Okay, here's one thing that had to change about comedy.
Okay, yeah.
A couple of them... I did a bit at first that I thought was hysterical, and it was killing. And your mom was like, hey, if Carlina, when Carlina gets older and she... like, you can't do that ever again. Because I did a joke about... It was kids sometimes will think that the divorce is their fault.
Mm.
But a divorce is never a kid's fault.
Yeah.
Now, marriage sometimes is a kid's fault. Because, like, you'll stay married for the kid. Like,
what if that was funny? I would say
But she
that.
Was like, no, don't do that. Don't do that once Carlina gets older.
Petition to bring that back in your act. But anyways... So my parents had gotten a divorce when I was 7. Brad came into my life when I was, what, 11, 12?
11, 12 years old.
12 years old. So it had been a few years.
Yeah.
And it had been a rocky few years, to say the least, whatever. Now, me, I am and was a bit of a hostile child. I didn't have much of a filter.
You had moxie is what you had. You had moxie.
And
had a little pep in your step.
I didn't have much of a filter.
Would you say, producer, she's fiery? Fiery. He nods yes. All right.
And
opinionated? Sure.
Guys, they get
stubborn,
it.
Stubborn, I get
Guys,
it.
Guys, they All get right. it.
Okay.
Anyways, so I had this random man come into my life who I didn't know. And who I was being told is all these, he's a great guy, he's wonderful, he's amazing.
Probably not in the CIA.
I believe none of it.
Did your mom tell you I'm probably not in the CIA?
No, that wasn't mentioned okay. yet. I believed none of it. So, I mean, you can ask Brian. I did hours of research. I paid for the white pages to get his address, his sister's address, and his brother's address. I wrote fake mail to threaten to send out to his siblings.
Yeah. I got the white powder. Don't worry. I got the anthrax. I got the anthrax letter. I just made no mention of it.
But anyways. But yeah, so I was a bit of a maniacal child, if you will. But Bri was steadfast through it all. And now we have a podcast together.
I'll be honest. Here's what it was.
Fear?
No, it was not fear. I'll be honest. It wasn't hard. It wasn't simple. It was, okay. I literally just said, like, put yourself in her shoes.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people won't do that. A lot of people are like, how dare I be disrespected? That's why I'm saying one of these banker guys.
I was disrespectful.
One of these banker guys, one of these guys who are like, I will be treated. I can't be treated. I'm like, this has nothing to do with you.
Which it didn't.
You flat out said, I don't know if you remember this, and I don't know if we're blasting us out of school here. You said, hey, man, it's nothing personal.
I did.
It's nothing personal,
yeah.
But I'm going to do what I can to mess this up. And I'm like, hey, man, I respect that.
Well, because, okay, from my perspective, I was in the mind of an 11, 12-year-old.
Yeah.
I thought, well,
I still am, by the way.
Okay, all right. I thought, well, my life is crazy, and he seems like a good enough guy. Maybe if I show him true crazy, then he'll leave, and we can just go back to where we were.
Little did you know, I had toured Middle America for over a decade at that point.
You were ready.
And there
ready.
Was nothing you were going to show me that I hadn't seen. I had a woman fall out of a chair claiming to have broke her knee. I don't think you can break a knee.
Wait, yes you can.
I don't know.
You can shatter your knee.
I had a lady pee on herself in a chair and call the cops on me. For verbally assaulting her. So...
I have questions.
I've seen some things. I was going to be okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I would say I really enjoyed. Not to like toot my own horn. I would say I was a pretty smart child. Above the curve. Smarter than your average Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so.
You were on the high end of the spectrum as far as intelligence.
And other spectrums. But nonetheless. I really enjoyed your perception of, like, just your average 11, 12-year-old, and then seeing me interact with the world, and the little comments that I would hear of you being like, she knows that?
She knows
what? She understands that?
They can talk, they can feed themselves?
For reference, I consciously read Anne Frank in third grade, so I might be on a little bit of... spectrums.
Which we now say she didn't write. Or no, that's Helen Keller.
Helen Keller. Anne Frank wrote it.
Helen Keller did not write
Anne
Frank's diary.
No, she did not. Yeah. You're right. You are right
that
about
is true.
That. And so, but I like seeing Bri learn how, teenagers, just people interact with the world. And when I got into high school, just watching you see the workload... And watching you see.
Jeez, yeah, and to keep the GPA up there, look, I don't know, I don't think I'm telling any tales out of school here. Yeah. I got straight A's in high school.
Yeah.
I never once brought a book home.
I graduated with a, on weighted, which doesn't mean APs, honors, anything like that. My weighted was like a 9.794. My unweighted was a 4.98. So I was as close as you could possibly get to like a very solid GPA.
Yeah.
And you still had a better GPA than me.
But were you academic all-state left tackle? Is your face on a giant picture in the hallway leading into your gym? Are you in your high school's Hall of Fame?
That school is torn down.
That hurt a little bit.
I'm really sorry.
Are you saying that everything I have ever accomplished in my life was torn down with that building?
No. No, I'm not. I think you are, though.
Everything before 1997 is gone. It's a good thing you became a mediocre comedian.
Oh, my
now you
gosh.
Have something to live for.
Did you graduate in 1997?
I graduated in 1997.
I really don't understand math.
Yeah. So now that where are we? We're in 2023 now.
Yeah.
So we're kind of present day.
Pretty much.
How, like, here's the one thing I'm most afraid of.
It was all a scam.
No. Have I got you to consider comedy or some sort of media as a career?
I mean,
like journalist, podcasting, or something like that.
I'm doing a podcast with you, aren't I?
And we're making hundreds of dollars.
Hundreds of thousands, if you will.
Not thousands.
Not thousands.
So, I would say was it a good or bad? Nothing like that.
We'll never know any other way.
Yeah, you'll never know any other way other than, you know.
But I'm happy where we are.
I'm happy where we are. I'm glad to have a fan. Now, at a point in a man's life, I don't know, obviously, if we're going biology, not at some point for a woman, she's like, well, I'm never going to have family.
That's dark.
A man, it's a little later. But like I was like, well, I'm probably never going to have a family.
That's so sad.
At that time. And then I meet your mom. We talk for a while. And she kind of tells me, she's like, look, I there's going to be no more kids and things like that. And I don't know if I should say this, but your mom had her stomach removed, so she can't have babies anymore.
The entire stomach.
That's where they put the baby, in the stomach, right? So she can't have babies anymore because her stomach got removed.
Just, no,
oh, Okay.
She just doesn't have a stomach. Yeah, it's just like they took the whole stomach.
Yeah. They took the stomach out. That's where you hold the baby.
Kitty's just like sitting there. Yeah.
From my understanding of biology, that's where you hold the baby, and she can't do it anymore.
Better GPA and than me, so, ladies and gentlemen.
And then it was a long time before she was, like, she had to be sure before she was going to interview. Because I don't know, and I don't want to know, and I don't want it on the podcast. If, like, people were introduced and stuff like that, but she was very adamant. So once I met you guys, I was like, this is going to be my family.
Yeah.
And it can go one of two ways. And I guess is it a blended family is if I had brought kids in, right?
I think so.
So in a...
As the meme would say, you're not the father. Wait, how does it go? You're the father that stepped up.
The father that stepped up. Well, no,
I love that meme.
You know what it is, though? And this is corny and cheesy, but it's family by choice. Yeah. Instead of, you know...
Sounds like an Adam Sandler movie.
Let's,
Call Adam Sandler.
No. You get the... Let's lock up that website.
Oh, yeah.
Family by choice. It's probably like a...
It's abortion, like abortion. It's an abortion website. It's by for choice. Sure a pro-life website.
So I do like that. You know, we did this episode because we're going to have just a new title for the podcast. We're going with Family by Law. And it's also, we've been on long enough. We've got some listeners. I thought this was a good chance for them to get to know us a little bit.
Yeah.
My mom has a crazy, you know, I'd like to get her perspective, let you hear. Because the first time my mom met your mom was at the wedding.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. The first, like, I had met your family and everything, yeah. Your mom's mom. But the first time your mom met my mom was at the wedding. And it's a crazy story. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to have my dad's wife.
By law,
my mother. Brenda. I don't want to give out her last name.
Just Brenda.
But I think everyone's going to know that she has my last name, too.
Nah, not on the birth certificate.
Brenda! My mom, Brenda Aldridge, will be our guest when we come back. Yeah, and then so I collected all that money, and I told him I was going to use it to pay off all the kids' lunch tabs, and then I just kept it. And whoa. Hey, so yeah, we are back from break, and... Through technical difficulties, I was not able to patch in my mom, Brenda. She thought it was a FaceTime. And I was like, no, it's not a FaceTime. You just got to, we're going to patch you in through, you know, the phone. And she was like, my internet? And I'm like, it's not the internet. And so we gave up after a little while. We were going to have her come on and give her account of the wedding day and what it was like to meet my wife and my wife's daughter, my daughter by law, my daughter-in-law, Carlina. Not really sure where we're going to go with the second half of the show. Don't have any ideas.
We could play a game.
What do you got?
You ever heard of 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon?
6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, I have.
It's
basically what it says is any actor can be linked through Kevin Bacon in 6 degrees or less. With, like, common...
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we were talking about how I've met, like, a bunch of celebrities and stuff. I think we could connect you.
Me?
You!
Brian Aldridge! Are you suggesting... 6 degrees! That we go 6 degrees...
Of Brian
Aldridge! Of Brian Aldridge, sponsored by Subway Sandwiches. Are you at a Sitgo gas station? Yeah! Do you want a sandwich? Kind of. Step on up to Subway Sandwiches.
Also, moment from our real sponsor, BetterHelp. For when you can't afford therapy and when you're not ready to actually face a real person and deal with trauma, you can text through your phone.
There are no indications or proof that therapy works. Results may vary.
Our therapists are not all currently licensed, just like the nurses in Florida.
I'm 100% sure when you do the therapy through text that you are chatting with an AI robot.
Oh, for sure. For sure. They're just kind of like getting the AI generated, yeah, right? That's what you're getting back. Like, please don't kill yourself.
Yeah.
What if it, like, misstepped and told
Don't kill yourself. Go to a Citgo gas station and get a Subway sandwich. Where right now you can get the steak and cheese for $6 foot long. Subway, eat fresh. Hey, remember when we used to have that one guy as our spokesman? Me either. Subway. All right, so I am down for a little 6 degrees of Brian Aldridge. Can I suggest a celebrity? Or do you guys have them prepared? I have one that I want to go first.
Okay.
And I want you to tell me how I connect.
Okay, I can do that.
He's a Florida native.
Florida native.
Lives right across the bay from us in Clearwater, Florida.
Really?
He won the Heisman Trophy and was the number one overall pick by the Buffalo Bills.
Could it be?
Once rushed for over 2,000 yards. NFL Hall of Famer O.J. Simpson.
I would like for
you and producer Brian to link me to O.J. Simpson.
All right. First connect is, I know this as a fact, you did a interview, who was then, Bruce Jenner.
We are not misgendering Caitlyn Jenner. Here, this was before a transition. When the Kardashian show first started, I was in Madison, Wisconsin, and I did a morning interview, and I talked to Bruce Jenner on the phone when he was Bruce Jenner.
Yes.
Before he killed that person in a car accident and switched over to Caitlyn Jenner. Whoa. Okay.
Whoa. Anyways, further on that.
But after he won the decathlon and a gold medal and was a hero on the Wheaties box.
Interesting. But that's your first degree of connection is the telephone interview. Who does Bruce Jenner happen to be the stepfather of?
Bruce Jenner is the stepfather to all of the Kardashians.
Including?
Kim. What's the middle one?
Courtney.
Am I missing one?
Maybe another K. Chloe.
Chloe Kardashian. And who, pray tell, is Khloe Kardashian's biological father?
Presumably, possibly, is O.J. Simpson.
We got there.
You could also get there through Kris Jenner and the lawyer and the defense trial, but that's just more fun.
Yeah, I thought we should take a stab at that one, number one.
All right, going for number two.
So we are connected in O.J. Simpson pretty quickly.
Concerningly quickly.
Yeah.
Like, more quickly than they put pieces of that case together.
Like, before he could have got back to Chicago after not killing his wife and the waiter.
You might be onto something.
Someday they'll find the real killers.
Yeah. He could have played a hand in it.
Yeah.
But next, I want you to tell me how you're connected, and I know you're connected more than one way to this person who's also, actually, they're not a Florida native, but they live in Florida. They are currently living in Tampa and is one of the best, if not the best, WWE wrestler of all time, the one, the only, John Cena.
John Cena, the 16-time world champion, living here, yes, in Tampa, Florida, my favorite wrestler by far. And it's not close.
By law,
the greatest wrestler of all time, John Cena. Someday, I will shake the hand of John Cena.
Someday.
I don't think he would care too much to hang out with me. I'm a little fat.
Oh.
I'm funny, but like, what do we have in common? I don't bench press like I used to anymore. He's busy all the time. He knows Chinese.
Yeah.
He can drive a stick shift. You know what I mean?
Japanese.
It's Japanese. It's Chinese. He knows Chinese.
I was wrong.
We're both balding, but other than that, we don't have much in common, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of him. I would assume if he saw my act, he'd be a big fan of me. So we could have that in common. But John Cena is my favorite wrestler of all time. Unfortunately, the chain to get to John Cena is, can we have the producer, I'm going to stall for time a little bit. Can the producer look it up on the phone? It's a movie where he goes on vacation in Mexico. John Cena. What's it called?
I don't know the name of it.
Okay. Do you know, do we have it here? Because that's my quick Vacation Friends.
What it is.
I don't know if it was on Hulu or if it was on, yep, Vacation Friends. I saw that. He did a great job, by the way. John Cena did a great job. Always does. Lil Rel was his co-star in that. And quite a few years ago, on a college gig in Iowa, Lil Rel and I spent 5.5 hours one way, 5.5 hours the other way in the car, did a show.
Yeah.
He came up in Chicago. So I did that college show with Lil Rel. Lil Rel co-starred with John Cena. So we got there in 2.
Yeah, that's an easy 2.
Yeah.
Easy 2. That was even less than OJ.
Yeah.
All right. The next one, I think, and I'm pretty proud of this one.
Okay.
If you will, your next connect is going to be through Magic Johnson.
Magic Johnson.
Yeah. How do you get to the
first person?
The man?
The first person in the history of the NBA to go from having AIDS to not having AIDS.
Yeah.
Magic Johnson.
How do you get there?
Money.
Money?
Never,
that's true.
Never had it in the
that's
first
true.
Place. Doesn't exist. He never really had it. Does he have other accolades? Sure. He was drafted number one in the 1979 NBA draft. He led Michigan State to a national title. Multiple NBA championships. Possibly the second or third greatest player of all time, but I think he should always be known for
as the man.
Curing AIDS, the man that cured AIDS.
Cured AIDS, single-handedly.
Yeah.
If you will.
When I was a kid, there was a joke, like wheelchair basketball was becoming popular. What would you call Magic Johnson playing wheelchair basketball?
That's
roll AIDS is
oh
what
my
that
God.
Is. Yeah. So,
oh my God.
How am I connected to Magic Johnson?
You are connected through Magic Johnson through one source who happens to be your co-host.
My co-host, my wife's daughter by law, my daughter-in-law, Carlina, co-hosts a podcast with Brian Aldridge. And she has personally met and beaten Magic Johnson in a one-on-one game of basketball.
Yeah.
Magic Johnson did grow up in Lansing, Michigan. Your mom did a lot of business events in Lansing, Michigan.
Yeah.
She worked for Fifth Third Bank before they downgraded her job to just putting out a table and putting out checking accounts.
Just hanging out with Magic Johnson.
Yeah. So, no, your mom did a lot of business. She was in the Chamber of Commerce in Lansing. Through a business event, you were able to meet Magic Johnson.
Yes. And Magic Johnson is a very nice guy, and afterwards, with any kids in the event, he did play basketball games, to which I played basketball
and you won.
With Magic Johnson. I don't really remember, but I presume I won.
Yeah.
Yeah, can only imagine.
You crossed him over.
Crossed him over, dunked on
him. All right, we got time for one more. do you know who that is?
Do I know who Mike Tyson is?
Yeah.
I'm pretty aware.
Mike Tyson in the 1980s was one of the most feared boxers. They created a game, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. My brother claims I've never beat Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. I've done it several times. He always leaves because the Nintendo won't stay on the screen. And then it switches over and he's like, well, what are you talking about? This, like, he will leave the room every time I beat Mike Tyson and Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Mm.
Mike Tyson is a 2-time world heavyweight champion. A 2-time convicted, no, I'm kidding. No, he has maybe the most inspiring turnaround story I've ever seen in my entire life. And my connection to him runs through this turnaround story.
Yes.
He turned his whole life around. He was, by his own account, down in the dumps.
Yes.
Like, maybe down, you know, things were looking bad for him down. I think people your age only really know him post-Hangover movies.
I know boxing and then a big blank
he had a dark time.
And Hangover.
He had a dark... That was the dark time.
Yeah.
And then Hangover was his road back.
Yeah.
And then the world got to see the genuine...
Yeah.
Just... I don't want to say sweet because I don't want to get my butt kicked. But like
the
just
chill.
Sincere.
The chill.
No, it's sincere and real and intelligent. Mike Tyson. He was in the movie Hangover.
Yes.
the dentist, Ed Helms, was in the movie The Hangover. Ed Helms was on The Office.
Yes.
And also on The Office, Craig Robinson.
Yes.
Played Daryl.
Yeah.
Who I lived with in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
For a week.
That's
while
true.
We did shows at JD's Comedy Cafe in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So there's my connection to Mike Tyson. Goes through Craig Robinson, through Ed Helms, Mike Tyson.
Yeah. Less than four. Yeah. We're pretty close on these.
I don't want to have an ego, but this is a quick off-the-cuff thing.
Yeah.
I think down the road we could do a whole episode of this.
This could definitely be a whole episode.
We'll see what the people decide. If there's any interest in a whole episode of this, we'll do one. We may just do it, throw it up on the Patreon.
Yeah.
Which we don't have yet, but we will.
We will. We can see how far we can get.
Gonna make a couple of promises real quick. I'm gonna promise once we switch over, which will be next week. So next week, when you listen to the podcast, still search Brian Aldrich. You'll still find me, but it'll be new clip art. I'll be posting in everywhere I can to let you know that we are rebranding. Starting next Wednesday, it will be called Family by Law with Brian Aldrich. You'll still have the archives. You'll still be able to find it by searching Brian Aldrich. But yeah, maybe down the road. We'll see how the feedback is if we would do a whole episode on that.
Yeah.
So we are going to wrap things up here. We finally have a segment that we feel comfortable closing on. You typically close on a celebrity game.
Yeah.
The producer does, I would say, all of the work.
I'd say 99.9%
of the work on this bit. Yeah. And we just kind of take it home like a bunch of trained monkeys.
Yeah.
So what the game we're going to roll with this time, we got celebrity. We're just going to do a couple of them, bang them out. Karate Brian's going to show us the celebrity that has been arrested. Me and you will try to guess what crime the person was arrested for. And then Karate Brian will tell us we're idiots and he'll tell us what the real crime was.
I think it's a great idea.
Let's rock it. Who's our first one? Bruno Mars.
Throwing a grenade.
He threw a grenade. He said he would.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Did he throw a grenade? He said, I'll catch.
Oh, well, he still had access to a grenade.
I'll catch a grenade. How's the song go? I'll fall a grenade.
No. He said, I'd catch a grenade for you.
Oh.
Oh, well, that's why he was going
to catch. Whoa, that's why he was trying
that's
to fall
why
on
he
a grenade.
Was trying. No, he was trying to catch the grenade.
But isn't that, do you remember that video? He's like carrying a piano up a street or something like that.
Well, yeah. We didn't say what the crime was.
Oh, Bruno Mars was arrested for cocaine possession.
That's why he was trying to catch the grenades.
I don't blame him for that. Yeah. Hear me out. You're partying all the time. You're going to possess some cocaine.
You're Puerto Rican.
Puerto Ricans really like their cocaine.
Almost as much as the Cubans.
Almost as much as the Cubans. All right, it only took 13 episodes to make Carlina racist. I'll tell you what, if we don't put bullet points, if this is what happens. If we don't put bullet points and we don't put like a structured thing for Carlina, she just goes.
Wait.
She goes to the right side of TikTok. Alt-right TikTok.
I thought for people that do cocaine. I thought, like, Cuban cocaine was, like, a thing.
I thought you meant Cuban people like to do cocaine. And I'm like, they do, just like everyone else.
Well, no, I thought, like, Cuban cocaine was, like, a thing.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe I'm accidentally racist.
All right. Our next one is, so that was cocaine possession. Do we know what happened? Like, did he serve a ton of time or anything like that?
I mean, he can't. He was out catching grenades again.
I don't even know if we're singing the lyric right.
I think we are.
I'll catch a grenade for you. Ya. Yeah, and I think we might have to now pay royalties.
Yeah, I'll catch a militarized weapon for ya.
The next one is, I don't know if you know who this is outside of Snoop Dogg. Do you know Martha Stewart?
Yeah, of course. I love Martha Stewart. So, I don't know. My information on Martha is a little rocky. I know she went to like a federal prison.
Yeah.
With like a golf course.
Some years ago, she got caught up in some insider trading.
Oh, I thought it was
And they put her in jail. No, they put her in jail for insider trading. And here's the thing. There's criminals at hedge funds doing a million times worse than her. And that's just business as usual. But they're like, we got to make an example out of Martha Stewart.
You know what? She's a rebranding boss because she came back with Snoop Dogg and came back stronger.
Yeah.
Now they have their own cookbooks, everything. Yeah.
Here's the joke I was going to make about Martha Stewart. This was an old troop.
Yeah.
I don't know if a true, with the PE.
Yeah.
Of like cartoons used to do it, movies used to do it. Like if someone was in jail,
mm-hmm.
they'd bake them a cake and put like a file in the cake so that they could saw through the bars. Yeah. I'm like, well, Martha Stewart, it wouldn't be strange at all for her to have a cake in jail.
That's true. That's true. She could just get out.
But luckily we had her in prison for that time because, oh, God knows we needed to get her off the streets.
Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
She was given the average American diabetes.
How do you think she was in prison?
Oh, my God. I feel like everyone loved her.
Yeah, I had to have, right?
I feel like the guards, like, you know how usually they, like, pay off the guards? Yeah. I feel like the guards paid her to, like, bake her cakes and stuff.
I just want to see the person who, like, walked up and thought they were going to bully her, and she ain't about that.
Yeah. You just see Martha Stewart. Who's our next one? Justin Bieber?
The Biebs from Canada?
The Biebs? Now, did he go to a Canadian prison or an American prison? Because that's a big difference. Canadian prison, they just, like, slap maple syrup on you and throw you in the snow.
He went for failing to pay for a tattoo. He got his... huh? Oh. He got a DUI.
DUI.
Who hasn't got a DUI? Justin Bieber, out there partying. Maybe he can turn his life around and make something of himself.
Right.
Post-arrest.
No. It's because he was singing, like, baby. We will get royalties for that one.
Mm.
He was singing, child, child, child.
Way to shut that down.
He was singing, child, child, child. And, like, you know, he was just swerving to get away from the noise.
Now, any child star who blows up into super fame does have an ultimate fall.
Of course.
I'm glad that he kind of, his was whatever. He had a decent, not giant or anything like that. And now he's a family man.
Yeah.
He put one album out that I was like, why is it good?
Purpose.
Yeah. It was, and I was like, oh no. Is he talented?
I just out myself as a Justin Bieber fan. Oh, no.
And I'm like, this is pretty good stuff.
He's pretty
and
talented.
Now he's a family man, right? He's married and everything like that. Yeah. So
he's a very talented guy.
Yeah, he's got a pile of money he'll never have to worry about. Like
Khloe Kardashian, I know this one.
Khloe Kardashian went to jail for
I know this one. It's a DUI. I watched on the Kardashians. It was a whole episode.
They staged it.
Oh.
It was a staged DUI.
Oh, I watched it. It was a whole episode on the thing, and there's a famous meme.
They're like, you have one phone call your dad, and then he was like, hey, this is the OJ on the other end. This is hey, Twitter world. This is OJ Simpson.
Did you let me say the meme?
Okay.
There's a meme of Kim Kardashian in the car.
I did not kill my wife.
Well, they're on the way to jail, and Chris goes, Kim, don't take selfies. Your sister's going to jail. And it's a meme, and it's really funny. And so I, unironically and on shameless, wait. Shamelessly?
Unshamefully.
Unshamefully watch.
Unshamingly.
Love the Kardashians. I do that one.
Not keeping up with the Kardashians.
I am keeping up
with
them.
No.
The show
Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Stupid. On E.
Mm-hmm.
Hulu, The Kardashians.
The Kardashians.
Completely different show, so they owe no money to E.
Yeah. And I watch it religiously.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. Thank you, Karate Brian producer. I liked that segment right there. That was nice.
That's good.
I hope you got to get a little peek in on the dynamic between myself and my co-host in-law.
By law.
We let you in a little bit. Starting next week, we are going to be family by law with Brian Aldridge. Carlina, do you have any send-off, any closure you want to give to the final episode of Brian Aldridge's True Crime Political Election Conspiracy Sports Talk Podcast?
I think I would just like to say, you know, I
hear thank you for coming out, Carlina. And next week, I hope you join us for the very first episode of Family by Law with Brian Aldridge.